Sing some song, any song you like. I don't have a particular song. I think any song is fine. We can enjoy the Lord together. I hope you remember last year, we decided not to give any message. I think that, especially this morning time, you look at the title, probably I'm the one sit down, you need to speak to me so that I learn how to have a better marriage life, right? So there's no point to that. But mainly this morning time is more like a mutual fellowship. So we like to learn from one another. We can stand with one another. So especially even younger couple who do not have a children yet, actually, this is not about just children. This is about how we go on in the church life as a couple, or as a parent, or even as a single brother and sister. So it more require a lot of more mutual fellowship. So everybody feel a little bit more, not in the mode of a conference, more like relaxed. And if you need to go bathroom, please go. We are not going to check on you. Go, rest, come back. So a comfortable environment actually brings in more spirit and easy to talk. So there's not much to write down on the paper. Already in your heart, but we like to find a way, build up the atmosphere, draw what is in your heart to fellowship. So, amen? Amen. So as I did last year, I hope I continue there. You know, I'm serving in right now Ohio. You know, so sometimes your kind of tendency is some older, Coco, a little bit older or more experienced brother speaking, rest of the saints are kind of quiet. So I trained the young brothers and sisters, at least in Columbus, that they can interrupt me at any time for anything. So the way they train is the following. So this morning I like to practice. Please don't laugh and I'll practice. What they do is, in the middle of it, they like to have some question that'll bring something, but they tend to not to say anything. So what do they, I ask them, use their arm to raise your hand. So everybody raise your hand. I know you're kind of silly, kind of children's Bible sometimes. Okay, everybody raise your hand like this. That means you have something to say, or you have some question, or you like to bring some matters. So that means we start fellowship, we turn around to look at one another. So this fellowship is more and more like interactive. And then since we practice this one, our coordination has been very lively. And sometimes three hands hand at the same time, so I have to control, okay, you are number one, you are number two, number three. So that. And then they participated, they open up, they kind of, eventually fellows become richer, and we, a whole team, in a sense, we are becoming more and more one, standing one, because we know one another's heart. So I hope that kind of atmosphere we can build up, that this kind of, because taking care of children and parenting is a lifelong commitment. We may have a successful experience this year. Next year may not be so. We may have a very, very difficult year today, but tomorrow, sun is rising, our situation can be changed.
Amen.
So that's why this is ongoing, standing with one another, helping one another. So this will be our practice. Amen. Yeah.
Man, I'm just practicing to interrupt.
Okay.
I know this room they gave us is not conducive, physically speaking, for a kind of fellowship, intimate fellowship. But as Brother Andrew said, that's really what we like to have, more mutual. And please raise your hand, you know, if you have a comment, if you want to have a question or anything like that. He's so good about being interrupted.
Yeah.
Actually, most of the time he interrupts himself,
yeah.
You know, so it really works out well.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is also where we're going to meet. The reason they give us this room is tomorrow morning, for the Lord's table, and we will be here. Okay, that's why they give us such a big room. So yeah, don't be distracted by all the empty chairs. Praise the Lord. How about us sing a young people song?
Yeah.
It's song number 6.
Young people. Lord, now I see.
Amen.
Hopefully you want me to believe.
Amen.
Not to dwell in all my failures and defeats.
Amen.
To believe what you have done, and not in what I see.
Amen.
Okay. How about we pray 2x2? Amen. Okay, good morning, saints. My name is Andrew Cho from Columbus, Ohio. I came here last year first time. This is my second time. It's very good. I drove yesterday almost exactly 508 miles to get here from where we are. It's very nice. Seeing that I don't come to Wisconsin area that often. This is my, I think, third time to Wisconsin. It's very beautiful. I like it. But 500 is a little long distance. It was true. Okay, before we share anything, and you know, I like to, you know, have we heard about this verse? Philippians chapter 2, verse 25 said, Paul used the word fellow brother and fellow soldier and fellow worker and fellow soldier toward one of his co-workers. But this expression is very meaningful. First of all, he used the word fellow brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier. Why I'm bringing up this verse is actually this whole matter of fellowship about the parenting, and who can really talk about it other than God himself. And really, I wish Brother Lee here to give us all those experiences. This is a more and more daunting, very difficult, challenging topic that no one have enough boldness even bring it up, this matter. But we have a fellow. We may not be able to do it by ourselves. Even husband and wife can handle it. But we have a fellow brothers and sisters in the church, similar situation, or already gone through, had all pains and tears already been through. They have experience. Or some young couple ready to become parents. They're scared to death, but they look at older couple. They feel comforted. I'll be okay. I can learn from them. So this word fellow is a very, very important word when we touch this topic. So you are fellow parents, fellow husband. All the husbands, raise your hand, all the husbands. So you're not the only husband in the church. Right? There are a lot of husbands. Good, failure, success. So we need one another. Shepherd, pray for one. And raise all the fellow mom, fellow wife first. Yeah. My wife, I haven't been married that long, about 20, getting close to 24 years, I think. My wife, the biggest complaint, that how can you never change? You're about the same. I told this 100 times, same thing. How come you never change? I said, I got change. He said, that's how you think so. Anyway, we have a fellow brothers, fellow sister, fellow wives, and then fellow husband, we standing with one. So in that context, I want to greet to saints to right next to one another. Good morning, saints, to toward one another. My fellow brother or fellow sister. Later on, you may find out how important brother, sisters right next to you in relation to your own children. So I will get that point a little bit later. But it is, before we touch anything, we need the fellow brothers. So I kind of talk with my introductory, start with concerning my wife's sickness. She went through a lot of health issues for a few years. So we went to the doctor, emergency room, this medicine, that medicine. We went through something. And at some point, one night, I realized, I'm not a doctor, but I need to really understand what's going on the whole situation. I cannot always depend on doctor. So I started to research about my wife's sickness and then how other people deal with it. So I'm kind of like, I think I'm a good husband in that aspect. But she's
not here.
Yeah, she's not. Yeah. Yeah. So I really researched. I spent pretty much a few weeks, different angle, different hospital, different theory. So then Mayo Clinic theory, I read it. You know, I'm medical background, so I have no idea what sort of dictionary coming in, I understand. So I come up with all those things, and then interesting enough, that I found 5 common recommendations to help the patient who has a somewhat long-term struggling, whatever health issue it is. So first of all, number is pretty sure you need a good doctor's and nurse, and a good diet, and good exercise, and good sleep. So all this is common for. And then when I found that number 5, it was very, it caused me to think for a while, number 5. Guess what is the number 5? There are 5 factors can help people help the people get better as far as the sickness is concerned. What is number five?
Engagement.
Huh? Stress. Feel free. Raise your hand, whatever. Yeah. Okay, this is moment. Okay.
To be engaged in community.
Okay, to be engaged in community. Amen.
Prayer.
Prayer.
Support from family.
Support from family.
Yes, I think the same.
Yeah.
We will see the same, like a healthy social life.
Social life, okay. Kind of like all these words, it sounds a little more cousin, neighbor, kind of overlapping to one another. One word came out is support by group of people. Not necessarily that group of people is a professional medical related. Just support, encouraging word. Stop by. Bring the simple soup of chicken, and then pray. All those things is talking about support. They call it support system. But interesting enough, that once you have a support system, patients added to the toward the second courage, attitude, motivation, fighting. Okay, I'll get better. Hope, kind of like all these things is rising up. But if you only have a 1, 2, 3, 4 without the number five, which is a supporting system, sometimes many patients, a good doctor, they hope, and then they met the doctor, same doctor 2 years, not improving, good diet, change diet, keto diet, whatever diet, and then getting better, not improving, and then one after the other, patients start going down. But actually, if we have a number five, which is a supporting system, encourage one another, positive word, somewhat patient's attitude, okay, I will continue. So what I found out day one, it was a kind of, to me, it's like one word came to me from ministry. It's called vital group, isn't it? Brothers, sisters, loving one another, caring for one another. We are not experts. We are failures. But failures coming together to stand with one. That's how we're pursuing the Lord. So that is very much a vital group. And then based on that, I fellowship with my wife, and she agreed with. So we did some our own supporting system for her, for me, for my children. Because she was sick, lying down on the bed all the time. She couldn't quite take care of her 2 kids. But my second one was elementary school. My first one is, I think, 7th, around the 8th grade. So she couldn't quite do 4 kids, even though she tried her best, but always short. So we building up the supporting system. And then I realized I need a support system, too, to continue to take it. I'm still traveling. I'm still going, serving campus, team, and endless list. So I need a support. So we decided, let's build up the support system for all family members. Very nice. But it's not. So eventually I realized where we are in the church life has a lot to how to build up the support system. If you are in a certain condition in the church life, it's hard to build up the support system. You are not that connected, related. And then conclusion is, in order for us to build up the supporting system, I need to be related to many saints so that they understand my situation, vice versa. We understand their situation. Everything is mutual. So anyway, this make very long short. Even through the fellowship, 6 sisters respond to what? They are very happy to be a list. So in our family study room, big the shit, there was a name 1, name 2. It's called emergency contact list. So whenever out of town, my kids are doing something, and then my wife is all of a sudden physically not doing well, everybody know where to go. So they go, we're supposed to go 911, but we're not there yet. Like one time, my kids call 911. But at least something not too life-threatening, but kind of physical. So they contact. At least one of them respond, they come. Once we have that kind of system, somehow my wife was doing better. And then I served better. Many times I was out of town. But once I know one of the sisters on the way, I could continue to do what I do. And then my children were doing better. So everybody kind of doing better. So Why I bring this my family story? Because in taking care, we become parents, or we take care of a next generation. We need a group of saints working together, serve together. So I hope this is a very important one. And then I like to summarize what I don't know. I for sure I know you forgot about what I shared last year. I don't think you remember anything, which is very healthy and normal. Because that's why I will refreshingly speak again. You don't feel bored at all. So, okay. Last year I speak is one sentence with three phrases. That's it. That's why we fellowship last year. Last year was this: parents play most important role in raising up our children. But here, parents, hopefully we understand, not necessarily your physical parent, even spiritual parent. Parents play most important role, not young people serving one, not even church, not this, not that, not conference, not even summer school of truth, not even college training. Parents is the most important role, because that's they spend time the most. So I told the story last year. I tried to train my son and daughter after eat breakfast, and then they after they're done, when they leave, what do they do? They need to put the chairs back. Right, Vanessa? Your boys do that, right?
No. I was waiting.
Okay. So, so one morning, I just I liked it, and then my boy was eating the breakfast. He was already high school. He should be known better. And then he was walking away. My wife said, "Hey, boy, hey, Nathan, put the chair back." And then look at next year. My daughter put the chairs back either. So my wife was a little bit irritated in the morning time. You know, busy enough, tired up, eat good breakfast, and nobody say thank you, and just come and eat like bow the food. And then after that, like whole kitchen is messy. So usually, wife's mom's very not upset, a little bit irritated. So my wife said, "Hey, put the chair back." And I never forget that experience. My daughter turned around there. "Mom, Dad didn't do either." And then I look at my chair. My chair is the worst kind of far away. And then my kids just kept walking. They go to their room and be ready for school. And I never forget that. "Honey, we need to talk." So whenever my so they were, "We need to talk," to me, it's like, I hope never hear again in my nightmare. So we talk, and then I never do it. I always put the chair back. Even I skip them, I always make sure chair's right there. In other words, parents play most important role, because that's what children see day in, day out. Words we use, how mom and dad interact with one another, what kind of food we eat, where do we go, what we buy, what we enjoy. It's not the matter that we whether we try to be good parents. It's just that's what it is, because they spend time with the most with us. But by the way, saints, I made it very clear that I'm not good parent. I'm not good parent. But I still remember when Robert called me to come up to talk to me. I almost said, "Robert, did you call the right person? Didn't you? You meant to call Andrew Lin, but you kind of mistakenly dialed my number and you asked me." But he said, "Oh, no, you are the right person to call." So the way I took was, maybe I'm the one of the worst. So because the parents may be encouraging this way. I hope you encourage. So I use the word fellowship. I'm not here to give a message. I'll give you some link this morning. The Brother Minor recently spoke that these messages in Spain concerning this topic we will cover. Brother Tom gets so many sharing it. But I want to fellowship with it so no one feel condemned. No one feel regretting about what you did in the past. We all made a mistake. We all did something not according to God, but we didn't know better. We tried bad, but something happened. But now what we like to see is where we are going from here with one another, not just mom and the individually. So I hope that there was a spirit, there was intention, we are coming together, fellowship. So no one think about what you did in the past. More think about what I would do, what we would do from here forward. There's like coming forward the spirit, like book of Hebrew. So now coming back, the second phrase, yet parents play most important role in raising up our children, but there is one fundamental thing we all need to realize. As a parent, we understand parents' desire, how much we pour out for our kids. You know, I look at the, sometimes I step back, I look at the kitchen, and then I'm looking at my wife a little bit. I realize mom sacrificed a lot. Always fresh food, going to children first. Usually mom eat whatever leftover kind of thing. Even though they are the one who spend hours to prepare. And then mom waiting until whole family go to bed, and then go to bed. And mom gets up before everybody gets. It's a whole life like this. So because of that, mom's heart, dad pouring out everything toward children, very noble. Even one time Brother Minoru said, if anybody said anything bad word toward parents, that person needs to repent. Parents is a difficult job. Basically, the fact that you have children, lifelong commitment, whether they are doing good, whether they're doing good. Doing good, you steal your life. Your whole life is committed. And they're doing bad, of course, you give more love to them. You have no other choice. Give a lot or give more a lot. That's the only choice. There's no choice called, now I did enough, kids. It's not your life. Now it's my time. So you're 20-year-old. I'm 50, my life is waiting for it. We don't do that. Even Bible does that. So because of that, parents pouring out everything. But we have to realize one matter. Even though parents play most important role to our children, we cannot meet all their need. Mm-hmm. Or the dad, or the mom, or the dear saints, or young couple. Any young couple who don't have children, can you raise your hand? Nobody, everybody has children. Oh, not yet, but yeah. this fellowship is for you. Actually, this fellowship is more young company than them. We cannot meet all children's need. We just can't. God doesn't expect that. We should not expect that. Even Bible never said parents can meet all the our children's need. And then you think about today's society. How can you meet their all their need? Demand is just like overwhelming. Like one sister, honest young couple having first child baby, she said, Brother Andrew, even look at my baby. Sometimes I'm so cute, but at the same time, think about what I need to do for her for the rest of her life. I feel dizzy. Honestly, I'm kind of nervous about it. So, brother and sister, especially parent or parents to be, we also need to realize parents play a very important role. But on the other hand, we cannot meet all their needs. We just can't. Well, how many children do we have?
Just one.
Yeah. So one is that you can take care of all her needs, right?
Yeah.
Especially teenager is the easiest time.
Hardest.
Yeah. So I told you a story about my daughter's story last year. Almost three years, she didn't talk to me. I mean, she talked to me about, like, dad, I need the money. Yeah. But that's not conversation. It's called demand and the high pressure. But it's not really. She just tuned out almost 3 years. My son was better, 18 months. I think I calculated how long this guy is not going to talk with me. My son, 18 months. Also, my daughter, used to be a favorite person in the family. So whenever I went home, she came to me and like, she sang a song to me, like she saved the dessert for me kind of thing. Once she got into high school, what dessert are you talking about? She would not talk to me. But interesting enough that she's in freshman in college this year, she talked to me more than she talked to mom. To me, it's like almost like tears coming out. She opened up everything. Then what do you think? Do I need to buy it? And sure. And then she smiled. Do you feel good about it? Oh, yeah, I feel very good about it. And then she kind of paused a little bit over the phone. That means you need to send the money to me. Do you need some money? Well, not really. If you want, yeah, maybe. How much do you want? Much, whatever, maybe $50, and then well, $50 to $500, I'm around there. You want $500? Well, that sounds nice. And I send $500, and then she didn't talk to me for a while. Anyway, she talked. So saints, our children, we love our children. But we cannot meet all their needs. So this was the second phrase. So, sentence, the third phrase is so. Whole church need to become corporate parents to our children. That means English, it take a whole village for our son and daughter, for young people to become properly mature. So that was very much, I believe, Rabbi Dream, very much we talk about it, we consider whole church need, our children need the whole church. Whole church means older brother and sister, the grandfather, aunts, and they need a lot of uncles, they need a lot of spiritual grandparents in the church. But in doing so, one practice is very important. That is, if the saints are not built up with one another, if the saints are not trusting one another, we will not open door wide for the church coming to take care of your children. That's last year again. We need to be built up with one another. I trust in you. You trust in me. That means it's okay. You coming to take care of my children because I trust in you. But because we don't have a building relationship, even though you know it takes a whole church to take care of your children, at the end, you still try to do everything by yourself between mom and dad and become heavier and heavier. But sometimes this is a very important thing. It takes whole church. It really takes whole church. Not just one. There are a lot of uncles and aunts and the peers. That means they're cousins. They need so many cousins. Cousins locally, cousins extra locally, cousins in London, cousins everywhere. And then they also need to have younger siblings. So the high schoolers, good to serve children so that they feel like, hey, these are my younger siblings in the house of God. But this practice, we need a little bit more improving and more strengthening. But still, this is a little bit, that's why in this context, one of the co-workers told that most difficult fellowship to do is fellowship with the parents. Either parents become sensitive or parents become regretting. Oh, that's what I didn't do. That's what. No, hopefully no one thinks that way. It's just a family member, big family come together. And then our church life has directly to do how our children go on. Especially, not in a general church life, our relationship with the fellow brother and sisters in the group. To such an extent, we can take care of one another's children. Before I get into this morning, I tell a woman a story. You know, I was born and grown up in the different countries, South Korea. I came here when I was 27. So I do not know the American culture that much. So I came here, and then 1 year studied in Texas, and after that I went to training. After training, about 30-year-old, I got married, I started to serve. So my life is a little bit simpler, not knowing that much kind of thing. And one time I was cleaning the meeting hall in church in Irvine, and one brother came to me, hey Andrew, did you ever take your boy to the baseball game? In a baseball game. At the time, the Anaheim Angels. Now this is Los Angeles Angels. My response is, I don't have time for that. I'm barely making all the meetings and coordination. And this brother looked at me, hey, you cannot do that. Well, why not? Well, what's the matter? So anyway, he and I, we debate. So anyway, he, a little bit. We're supposed to be very coordinated, one of course, but not like we're talking about baseball, not baseball kind of thing. And then about 3 weeks later, he called me, hey, Andrew, if you don't mind, it's okay, I can take your boy to the baseball game. And I'm taking my boy too. He was very young, about, I think about 6-7 years old. So whatever, but that's nice. Well, my wife and I have a free time. And then he went, and he came back. And then he just enjoyed baseball game. But that's all. That's what I thought. But in baseball game with another brother, another boy, that's where 6-year-old boy tastes what the church life looked like. He didn't realize what does that mean. He didn't realize what does that mean. And then another time. So one time, I had a hard time to communicate with him. And then this brother knew what I'm having a hard time with my son. He was young. So he said, it's okay. Hey, let's go with me. The ice cream time, and we'll take a walk, and then kind of thing. And he came back with a happy boy. No problem. Of course, my wife always said, you are the problem. Okay, that's a totally wrong, totally different story. Maybe next time. Time of confession for 5 hours. And I would do that, or what I said, what I did. It is a church life. So it take a whole village, or it take a whole church, as, I hope you hopefully take this expression, corporate parents, taking care of all our children, not just your physical children, all the same children in the church is called corporate children. So that, this is important, but so that we all, and we are all our children, go on together. As much as we need a support system, they need a support system. When they're growing up, let's say, 5 in the church life, 10 years later, 3 remain, 2 remain, 3 left church life, let's say, hypothetical that way, it, for their going on in the church life, it's a challenging. Because they need their peers. They need their supporting system. You understand? So think about other things. Last year, main fellowship, yes, parents play most important role. Far more important than Robert Shank, who's speaking at the conference. Robert Shank is, he's a very good spiritual, supplemented multivitamin. But he cannot be the main dish. Parents must be the main dish to our children. Amen. Yet, we all need to realize we cannot meet all our children's needs. Period. We can't. We just happily accept this fact. That means, Brother Andrew, you used to teach the saints, and you need to be able to say, I need some help. Saints, I need help. Brother, sister, I need your prayer. I need your shepherd. I need some wisdom. I need some help. So once you realize second thing, third phrase you are coming in, that is, yes, whole church as a corporate parent take care of all the children together in that way. So I hope this is our fellowship, the last year fellowship. So what is this year fellowship? That is, you have honor. I hope you, how about you read the title? Hopefully you are not surprised, and then you don't, I deliberately said fellowship one, and the other word is fellowship two. What is fellowship one?
A holy marriage for God's purpose.
And then fellowship two? Okay, saints, I have a zero, and I have no intention, and actually we are not here to marriage counseling kind of thing. No, we are not focused on family, and we are not nothing to do with it. But we like to take a look at these two topics from the angle of God's heart, and then also in the context of the church life. So in that aspect, so none of the saints try to analyze the condition of your marriage life. It's nothing to don't look at it. And especially, rather look at your, don't look at your
don't,
wife.
Don't look at my wife.
Yeah, don't look at your wife. But your wife can look at you.
Oh.
It's okay. It's not their intent to do that. But in the context of parenting, that's why young couple is very important word. This is, holy marriage for God's purpose. Because, very simple way, marriage got instituted by God himself for his purpose. So now the world going out there in the world, your children constantly listening, hearing that marriage is not that important. Mm-hmm. Really, marriage has been directly and very, very severely attacked by the philosophy, by the trend of the world. That's why even that affect certain level of marriage life, especially among the young couples. For example, the word has been slowly relevant word. It's called commitment. It's marriage life is a commitment. You know, I got married to my wife, and Brian Minor is the first one. Andrew, do you realize that you are getting married to my wife's name, Ruth? It's called that's it. And like, what? That's it? What does that mean? Done. There's no room to tweaking it, no room kind of change it. No, that's it. This is your life. This is your destiny. This is your commitment. So you better take care of her very well. Because potentially, who knows? Jokingly, God may put her right next to for eternity in the New Jerusalem. So you better take care of her right now. So that means that's it. It's called commitment. Why is it commitment? Not because we like to limit the people in a human way, because it is directly related to God's purpose. So hopefully all we have a healthy view of God. What is God's purpose? Very simple. You all saints know, God wants to have expression, corporate expression through man. So that through that corporate expression, God can really accomplish his economy. God can reign. God can exercise his dominion. But to do that, he needs cooperation with the human being. But the human being is basically produced and is brought into through healthy marriage. That's why God initiated, God decided. Because the enemy knows this is what God's purpose behind the marriage has been a lot of attacking about concept about the marriage and view about the marriage. Even saints in the church like marriage, there has been a lot of challenges going on. Sometimes doubt, sometimes. So why we talk about this topic in relation to parents? Okay, this is a kind of linking connection. I don't know if you heard about this expression. Is our children, whether we like it or not, they look at us all the time. I hope they have a break. Don't look at us. Sometimes give us a break. We can be a little messy. We can be silly. We can talk whatever we want. So tape record, pause. Now we kind of argue a little bit, husband, wife, like this. Okay, kids, you can play the recording again. And if we do that, we maybe have a different kind of marriage. But it's not so. Basically, they are observing everything. It's from mom and dad, especially in the context of a marriage life. So from the God side, this is a marriage is directly connected to his purpose. From our parenting side, in raising up our children, our marriage life has that kind of expression, almost you can use the word, our own testimony. That's why we cannot help to talk about this matter. But this has been very difficult topic. But who has called me? Me? I'm the F minor. One time I asked my wife, honey, how was it? What grade do you like to give it to me as your husband? And my wife looked at me. She was not good mood like that. Even you don't deserve F. I like to give it F minus. What? Really? Okay, I hope next time again get at least F, not F minus. Yeah, you know. We all of us feel condemned. We all of us short. It's normal. But how about we look at this marriage in the most positive sense from now on, where we are going from here? Building up the holy marriage life is we are really involved. We are taking care of God's heart's desire. Throughout the Bible, I told you I'm not giving message. You know that all the things. Is related our marriage life. And then from our children, parents' point of view, from view of the parenting, that's where their children look at us. Even, I don't know, you heard about this expression, when mom and dad talk, smiling, friendly with one another, that's what children eat. is their food. I don't know, you hear about the children eat what they're eating like this. But when mom and dad argue with one another, they kind of take it as a kind of Chinese herb medicine, herb beer kind of thing. Well, that's where they are. So in other words, emphasis of this one, it is, we build up the proper holy marriage life from where we are so that our children can have a best environment. For God, we're fulfilling God's purpose. For our children, they can go on. Okay, I'll give a very, very tricky question. So be at peace. So since we are family, though. In your marriage, right, you argue with one another. Raise your hand. More than twice. More than 10 times.
Per year?
That's exactly what I was looking for. Are you talking about daily basis? I'm talking yearly basis. If a daily basis, maybe like the yearly basis, like this. You raise your hand like this. We all like that. So now we realize we all are failures. So you feel good, you don't feel good, right? You feel good? So okay, I'm failure too. You know, my daughter one time, not that he mentioned that I was very exposed. One time, I didn't know that. My wife and I, somewhat voice went up. I don't know why. We try, usually voice up when our kids go to bed first, and then we try to put on the blanket on our hands, like, so they don't hear again. But that evening, somehow we couldn't control us. Our voice really went up. You know what my daughter did? She called my son, who is in college, and crying. And she said, I wish I'm not at home. And then my son, it's okay. You saw already 100 times. What was the big deal about it? And joking, basically brush up, calm down. And I didn't know that until after a couple of years later, actually. So my son, the text message he received from my daughter. Hey, brother, I don't want to be a tough person. I feel so bad. But at the same time, I realized there was a lot. So now, it's different. So hopefully, this is our attitude and spirit that our marriage life has a lot to do with our parenting. So in order for us to take care of our children, sometimes take one step back. Just one step back. Think about importance of or the revelation of marriage in the context of God's purpose. Not only producing number of people, the vessels in front of us, we raising them up, they also need our holy marriage life in that sense. So I hope this is a main burden. So if you think that way, can we read this point together? Just I'm keep looking for people raising the hand, but please, at some point you start to raise your hand so that I can have some break. Otherwise, if you share for me, I'm keep looking at John. He may have something to share so that I can have some break. Okay, let's read the Fellowship 1, a holy marriage for God's purpose. Okay, let's read the Sisters 1.
Married life is the foundation of the family life, and the family life is the basis of our daily life, and our daily life is the basis of the church life. This shows the crucial importance of our married life.
Yeah, this is this exact quote for Brotherism Ministry. They said, brother, share. It's not, he was not speaking about the marriage life. He was speaking God's economy. Yet it happened to be in this context. This is a divine utterance. Marriage life is the foundation of the family. Where mom and dad, what kind of a life? So it's good, always good to have a little bit recalibration. What do you call it? In the chiropractor, you do a certain, they adjust you a little bit. I think a recalibration is very healthy practice. We all, so since I start to realize this one, I should have done from the beginning of my marriage life, I was a little bit stubborn. I really didn't want to say two following two words. I don't know. I think you brought it very well, but I really don't want to say I'm sorry. I'm always looking for some blurry word. So they kind of give impression I'm sorry without saying I'm sorry. I believe you brothers are very funny, I'm sorry, right? You always but I'm born, grown up, very stubborn there.
Or saying, I'm sorry, but. Yeah. There is answer, and I go, yes. There is answer, but.
Yeah.
But I am right.
But I am right.
You give a lesson.
What? Well, Paul, you are much better than I am. Even the I'm sorry, but my worst answer was, you did too. And that was the end of conversation. She walked away and locked the door.
For us, that's the beginning of a different conversation.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, it's very difficult for me, but recently I say I'm sorry because I'm still making so much mistake and everything. One time she responded, wow, that's a nice word. I'm stuck here. I like that. She keeps saying it like this. But inwardly, you didn't say sorry enough to me. Well, anyway, I didn't say it. Almost I said, another World War III is coming up. The other word is, what do you think about this? Sometimes, you know, in the past, I'm always like, go ahead, follow me, kind of thing. Recently, more like, hey, honey, what do you think about this? And then, sorry, I exposed my wife too much. She always said, if I say something, are you going to listen to me? I want to hear yes or no first. Otherwise, no point to say it. You're not going to do it anyway. Kind of. So, yeah, I'm always doing, no, you never. So recently. So anyway, this is marriage life is a foundation of family. This utterance is, I've been pray-reading this word, considering this word, is a very meaningful word. And then, that's brothers, the sister read, right?
Yeah.
And brothers read, Roman number 2.
Marriage is ordained by God and important to God.
Okay, this point I just want to impress a little bit. Marriage life is, first of all, is really important to God. More than important to us. To God, utterance is a ministry said, without marriage, God cannot do anything on the earth. It's very important to Him. But that's why enemy has been attacking this matter in a very way. So I hope this impresses this utterance. It's very important to God. Okay, and then the sister 3.
We need to live the life of a God man in our married life.
Okay, this is utterance, brotherly, released 1994 to 96 in High Peak. In the context, I think, before he passed away, he has so much burden in this matter. God means, 3 points he released, he tried to summarize. Number one is, he gave himself to do whatever he could do so that he can release High Peak, arriving at the High Peak of Divine Revelation. You heard about all this High Peak word before he passed away. Number two, he put all his energy and prayer trying to shepherd the sentiment of God-man's living. God-man's living is basically a lot of points, but one is deny our natural life, live by another life through the resurrection power. Strengthening by resurrection power, we live another life, and at the same time, we deny our natural life. But interestingly, his utterance, we need to live the life of God-man in the context of marriage life. Because that's where we spend time the most as a couple, right? Newly married couple, you love one another, you spend most of time with one another. The conversation, you eat together, you plan together, everything. In that context, really burden in God's heart through the ministry that is God's living, need to live out. That means deny our natural life and live by another life. So by living another life, husband and wife becoming one. Not by negotiating, which I did the first, my 10 years, I always negotiate. I do this, if you do, let's compromise. Not negotiating. Deny our natural life, living by another life, and then becoming one. That oneness is crucial to raising up our own children, parenting. That not only physical context in our family, what about the context of the church life? Church, Chicago, is a corporate parent to many children and young people in the church in Chicago. When children come, they see the saints. If they see reality of God's living, that means we are raising them up according to God and for heart's desire. So that's why brotherly ordinance, you need to live a life of God's living. Where? In your daily life. Toward the parents, toward the couple, his work is in our married life. So it's very, very real, and context is very clear. Okay, then we continue, and then I'll pause a little bit. I'd like to hear from you a little bit. And then number four, brothers.
Isaac's marriage was not common, nor merely for his human living. It was for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose.
Everybody knows the story of the Isaac marriage. Who was Isaac's wife? Rebecca. So, that was very... Isaac didn't do anything. So Isaac said, enjoy grace. And then Abraham sent the who?
Ezer.
And then brother Rebecca, and they have just got married. That's why we look at the picture is Isaac's married with Rebecca is not... There are so much spiritual significance. That means Rebecca, based on the spiritual leading, come to Isaac, they got married. But Isaac didn't do any human thing. Isaac basically lived by enjoyment of grace. And they come together, they build the oneness. In such a good fulfillment. In a sense, that's what the marriage life, the saints, we are looking for, is really joyful, happy marriage life, healthy marriage life, by enjoying the grace, following the Holy Spirit, and becoming one, and they become the living testimony at marriage life, not only in the church life, to our own children. That's where a lot of children can go on. Brother uses this expression. Children, our children, get affected more by atmosphere than by what we teach. Mm. Just atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I'll give you one example. One time, I went to Texas. Texas has two kind of rain. Do you know Texas has two kind of rain? What is the two kind? One kind of rain is like this. Oh, weather is very nice, hot, but you're just walking and then you're going to a shopping mall and then all of a sudden, within a few seconds, gloomy come and all of a sudden, like this. Very short and you got completely soaked. And then like 5 minutes, then, like a Beethoven, usually like bam, boom, and all of a sudden sun coming and then like, I got really wet. I live in Texas about 2 years. Another kind of rain is called drizzling rain. It's not raining, so people don't have an umbrella, nothing, just coming and you go to shopping, go kind of having like, take a walk. And once you get home, what happens? Hey, what happened? Your clothing got soaked. Atmosphere is more like a drizzling raining. There's something there, but not quite a pinpoint. But atmosphere is very pleasant. So it's a simple meal together. There is some laughing sound here, some positive atmosphere. Just chill. That's, brotherly said, that's the where children grow the best. It's called atmosphere. But where the atmosphere coming from in our own family, usually big part is coming from parents' marriage life.
I was going to say it's like a greenhouse, right? There's an effect, right? I mean, it's anyway in our experience for sure. You know, I didn't intend to say this, but anyway, you know that there's more now by the Lord's grace, by the Lord's mercy, more laughter, more easiness, and more care among us. After a lot of dealing, right? I mean, I think we can all be honest with each other here. There's a lot of dealing. There's a lot of different things that happen. So, anyway, now there's a different atmosphere. And one time, I was reminded by what you said about your daughter. Ours wasn't maybe that bad, but I remember a couple of times we would get into something and our voices would rise. And from the other room, our daughter would say, Mommy, Daddy, stop. And then we would just go, oh, you know. So anyway, you know, she was very aware, obviously. But now there's, you know, there's the Lord has brought us through some things. So now, anyway, the atmosphere is like the drizzle.
Yeah. So, in a sense, what God wants to accomplish is not like a one day work. All of a sudden, we have a very good family reunion trip, and then kids are enjoying, and everything is fine. Usually, children are not affected. Their children are day in, they are little by here, little by there. So that's why brother said, in the spiritual growth, and also he used the word human growth, humanity, proper mind, proper thing, think right, and then etiquette, everything, much more affected by atmosphere. So atmosphere has a lot to do with, in a sense, how we build up this holy marriage life. So on the other hand, so in a very simple sense, I don't have too much complicated is our recalibrating about on our marriage life for God's purpose has a lot to do with God's purpose, has a lot to do with the church's building, and also a lot to do with our own children, and also a lot to do with our service for next generation. I'm almost speak of the negative story, but I can tell you one positive story. My wife and I are having a lot of fun. So don't think we are always as fireworks fun. She and I, like, we've got a fun going on, and then I sang a lot to her. Even though she said, please, you don't have a good voice, please. I feel a little lonely, but I sang anyway, especially early in the morning. Early in the morning, and then, so she started to use earplugs, kind of in the morning. I get like in the morning, I like this. Anyway, a lot of fun going on. And the new one, two new sisters came to my house. And then they didn't say, and she didn't say that, one of the sisters didn't say that much. But interesting, she kept coming back to our house. And then all she did was, I told the story, some other case. She just came, eat a dinner, and slept on our couch. And then woke up right before we have the dessert. And she ate it almost every week. Wow, it was a very good meeting. And she left. Week after week after, all she did was came right before dinner started, ate a lot of food, and slept on the couch. And right before dessert time, somehow her nose functions her to dessert time, I need to wake up. And then wake up. And have a biggest cookie or two scoops of ice cream soup. And then she left. So eventually, but she's relatively new and young, so I dare not ruin that. Oh, yeah, you're good. You're very good. And like my wife, you know, what good is she? Anyway, good. You're good. So eventually, a few months later, she stayed in our home meeting late at night. I felt peaceful enough. At least I like to ask her, hey, you haven't come to our house. It seems like you're happy. Oh, yeah, I'm very happy about your coming together, your family, the other family. But can I ask, why do you come to our house? You don't do anything with it. You just came, eat, slept, eat, and go. Almost like I can, the moment every that's Wednesday at a home meeting, I can see it. You come, okay, here you go. Eat for half an hour, go to sleep, wake up. And then she never explained what it is. And she kind of smiled at me. And she said, following a few sentences, probably there, you were number one. The reason I came here because I was hungry. Because she was working two or three jobs, not enough money, pay back the debt. So she was always skipping the meal all the time. And then she realized, came to my house, could eat food without the feeling being condemned. So that's why, oh, really? Oh, we never condemn you. So just ate. Number two reason, I don't know why I felt so comfortable that I could fall asleep here. To us, sleeping is not good because we want fellowship. But to her, I could go to someone's home, sleep them, I feel very comfortable. Number three, why you feel comfortable? There was another couple, and with two couples with home meeting together. I can sense you guys, you two couples together, you really happy, love, care for one another. I feel very good. You provide a certain peaceful feeling. So even though I didn't want to sleep, I fell asleep so peacefully that I just always just but anyway, sounds good, sounds bad, I don't know how to tell, but anyway. Eventually this sister went to the training, finished training, now he's a she's working full time. The point is this. When she said like that, I got some light. People need peaceful environment, comfortable atmosphere. Actually, when, you know, she seemingly slept every week. Once she stood up to start to speak, start to learn how to speak, all came back. I don't know how she did. Like somehow we fellowship about the Genesis one, Genesis. Okay, like at least a little training. She was very good, excellent trainees. But since this kind of thing, our children look for, our corporate children in the church look for. Somewhere, somehow, they feel very comfortable enough. They can be who they are. Many times, you know, it's so concerned about children, so young people serving. Children, our children, young people have more hypocrisy. They act one way in front of us, but once they go to their peers, they do completely different. Nobody should be really hypocritical, but they think that hypocritical kind of thing. But if you are in very comfortable environment, loving atmosphere, and there is a sweet floor, even young people, they know they don't have to be who they are not, including our children. They can be honest, they can be silly, they can complain, they can sleep, they can express their unhappiness. A lot to do with this kind of drizzling every day, something real, yet not quite pinpoint kind of atmosphere. But that has a lot to do where we are in our marriage life. So that's why when I got this outline, I got this outline from Brad Minor. This Brad Minor spoke in Spain. He spoke the whole European Parents Conference. He spoke there. Initially, my reaction was, can I open up this matter? I'm not qualified. But Lord, give me a little feeling that you are failures. So you are qualified. So in a sense, we can open to one another. So I'd like to pause a little bit here. If there is anything you'd like to share, any response or different your experience, it may be very good. But never forget, we are fellow. No one is a successful case. No one is fellow. We just want to go on together from where we are now forward this way. We are not looking backward. We are not analyzing what we did. God never do that way. Only God give us light, so where to go from here. So in that spirit, open heart, can we have some fellowship together? We may have a little bit break before that. I may want to bring out one word for you to consider in the church life. This is not analyzing our own situation, our church situation, your family's situation, is nothing to do. This is just, we had a quick survey among the young people in Ohio, and also heard the survey young people in New York City area. And also now there's a lot of Christian gathering. They also do a lot of a survey to try to searching for answers. What is the best way taking care of a next generation dash their children? There are many things. I will report to you the second part after we break kind of thing. But one word coming back again and again, which I like to bring it up to you. I don't try to explain anything. This word is, that's why sister mentioned that. Our children actually looking for, and the young people in out there, even Christian, non-Christian, today generation, they're looking for following meaningful relationship. Not just relation. They have at least average one young person, junior high school, they have at least 1,000 plus, some cases 3,000 friends at their Facebook. Now, they don't call that Facebook friends related. It's not related anymore. Because it's just like kind of thing. But deep within, today's generation is following what I'm getting, lonely. The more they have friends on Facebook, the more lonely they feel. That's very paradoxical kind of thing. That's why they're craving for more friends to make up. But more friends come, more lonely. Because they cannot develop meaningful relationship with the Facebook friends. So since this word meaningful relationship, think about this meaningful relationship in the context of your own family life, in the context of the church life, in the context of your relationship with your own children, and also in the context of your own marriage. Like this word, meaningful relationship. I'll give you one example. I hope the sense is making. One time I was working in the meeting hall in Irvine. It was about 10 feet. I'm walking like this. And the sister's passing by. I look at her. She didn't look that happy, or she was very down. So I turn around and stop. I'm kind of man, I always tease people like that. Hey, sister. I covered her name, so I just call her sister. How are you doing? She said, okay, passing by. I'm doing fine. It's usually sisters, especially sisters in the church, they are got perpetual flower kind of type, like that, never bad. Like, oh, I'm fine, Brother Andrew. And then I just felt, I saw her eyes before I asked. I saw something. So I stayed on for her. I turned around. Hey, sister, how are you really doing? And then she's just like this. Oh, and all of this smiling slowly going away. Yeah, I'm doing okay. And then I, not again. I really don't know, how are you really doing? I just ask three things, like Lord asked Peter three times to say. You know what that sister? About to cry. And then we talk, and I find that there are very difficult things going on. I ask, hey, you serve, I shepherded the last decades like this. Why you cannot say, I'm not doing well? Brother, can I fail? Why you need to keep saying that I'm doing fine? And she said, what else I'm supposed to say? That's everybody's doing the same thing. I don't want to be uniquely like that. I ask a million, 10 people, everybody, how are you doing? Doing fine, good, great. So like I realized, if I'm the one, I'm not doing well. I'm kind of like, what's wrong with you? Second thing, she mentioned it this way. I'm not sure you are really asking about it. First thing is, she doesn't want to open. The other thing is, are you really serious about knowing my real situation? Or you just ask how I'm doing? So I'm not sure either. So kind of that conversation, kind of very simple. And then, I'm known as usually sister fellows, they usually cry. I don't know why. I don't know if something is some here. Why you cry? I don't know. You make me cry. Like, anyway. Oh, guilt. So fellowship is following this, saints. Somehow we live certain way. We already build up certain thing. A lot of thing below here. We have something, but we are not able to communicate with others. But I don't mean talking about the whole life story. And I one time just, I asked him, how are you doing? This brother just talking whole life story. I just didn't mean, I'm busy. I need to go in 5 minutes and like read. Do you have 8 hours kind of added to this? So, okay, that's too much. But something here, why? We are somehow this word meaningful relationship is slowly going away. Mm-hmm. More work. Even the word coordination has been a little bit not spiritual correct. We just decide certain things. Coordination means we know one another. Co means we are joined. We're sharing something. How can you be joined if I don't know the robber's real situation? So anyway, this made a meaningful relationship. It has been keep popping up among the young people's cry. But they don't use the word meaningful relationship. That's why we misunderstand that. We thought, oh, young people don't want to talk to adults. Young people then is, oh, my daughter, look, she talked to me twice in the last 3 years. So then we say, absolutely refuse it. Survey is completely opposite. They cry out. They are looking for some meaningful conversation, meaningful talk, a meaningful relationship, but they don't know how. So their expression is, regardless what they say, you help me so that we can have a meaningful conversation, meaningful relationship. So mom and dad, you figure out. So mom and dad, like, why didn't you say it like this? But why do I need to say it? Like, you're supposed to figure out our time. So this word, meaningful relationship, is in our heart. When we come together next fellowship, we'd like to have a little more fellowship. What do you mean is a meaningful relationship in the context of, because next topic is a godly family life, which is another big burden we have. So don't worry about this godly, don't worry. here, godly means not what you think. So after you hear it, you've been cut. But please don't forget this word. Young people, your children, even little children, they are looking for meaningful relationship with the older generation. They call it, Christianity uses this word, intergenerational relationship. That means if you are young, they are looking for meaningful relations to older people. So a quick quiz, and then I will ask you your answer. How many people they need for older people intergenerational relationship? Like I'm 11-year-old, they're looking for meaningful relationship with older people. Do you think how many need it? How many? I already answered you. I'm sorry. How many need it? Five. But this word is more important. Not just five. At least five. Please pay attention to that. They need more than five. But at least they need five. But I proved that later on. So why I'm saying like this, why I'm saying it, so you can come back. Can we have some break?
Yeah, let's take a break. Maybe we'll come back around 10:30.
Yeah.